And for those of you out there on the internet, welcome, 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 and God bless you and keep you. I'm glad you're here today. For those of you who are in the congregation, this is actually part five. It's not part four. I changed the title, but I didn't change the whole thing, and don't ask me why. I just didn't catch that myself. Pete and the guys back here had to point it out to me. So this is actually part five, the sandals of preparedness and peace, looking at our sermon series, The Full Armor of God. We have looked at these things, and we are gaining understanding in them as we, I was going to say, look at the full armor. I guess it's coming here quickly. There we go. As we look at the full armor, Ryan just keeps adding to this, and it looks better and better every time I see it. What an artist we have. But when we look at this armor, it is meant to give us a preparedness to understand that we are in a spiritual battle every day of our lives, all right? Because that spiritual battle is one that we wage within and without, because we wage that war against ourselves, the sin nature, as well as the sin and evil in our world. And today, we're going to be looking at reminding you of several of the pieces of the armor. Would you go to the blowout, Ryan? Because each individual piece has to have its portion. And each individual piece needs to be recognized and put on. You are not fully armored if you only have one or two pieces on. So today, we are going to be dealing with the sandals. Because they are the sandals of readiness that we are to live, to leave a righteous trail for others to follow. I like that, okay? I like that, to leave a righteous trail for others to follow. But there's also so much more that the sandals do for us. And in fact, several of the scriptures don't even call it sandals. So let's remind ourselves of those scriptures, if you would, turning in your scriptures to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 6. And I'm going to read 10 through 15 to remind us again of where we are and what we are doing. From Ephesians in the 6th chapter, beginning in the 10th verse and reading through 15, thus saith the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, that's not all of the armor. We will continue and we'll add each piece as we go. But as we look today, we're going to be dealing with having our feet fitted with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what it tells us in the NASB, which I read, and if you've been watching us, that's what gets projected onto our screen. But the NIV says to have the sandals of readiness and the gospel of peace. So I want to deal with those two thoughts and understand, come under what God is telling us here through the apostle. Because I want you to think about something. How many of you like to get up on a summer day and just go outside and run around in your bare feet? My wife does it all the time. Constant. She's still a farm girl. Okay? And I have to laugh because I get up, the first thing I do is put on shoes. Well, it's not the first thing I do, but that's my preparedness. I mean, I literally don't leave my bedroom without my shoes on. All right? Because I hate walking around not having shoes on my feet. because invariably I'm going to walk into the kitchen and Browning will have dropped a piece of dry dog food and I'm going to step on it and, you know, it's going to hurt, right? All I have to do is step on that tiniest little thing and my feet are, I have very sensitive feet. I hate walking on stones, okay? You know, I look at these people and they just go right across stones and I'm like, how do they do that? Do you ever see those people that walk across hot coals? Ain't happening here. My feet would never take that. My feet are very, very sensitive. I don't know about you guys, you know, different people, different sets of parameters. But I'll watch my wife and she'll walk around the house, she'll go outside in the yard, and I'm like, I just can't do that. Gotta have shoes. Why do I have to have shoes? Well, it's kind of funny. If you think about your life and you think about where you go and the things you do, how many of you literally want to put your feet in some of the things that you walk through in life? Okay? We go through places where there's broken glass, okay? All kinds of chemicals that have been sprayed or spilled on grasses and what have you. And you think about you're making yourself vulnerable to those things. So when we think of what the apostle was talking about here when he said the preparedness of the gospel of peace, he's telling us that we need to be prepared for battle. And remember, our picture here is a Roman soldier getting ready to go into battle. And they did not often go into battle on good, nice, grassy fields, okay? They were in the rocks and the crags. You know, they were on the beaches. They were wherever they happened to be. And one of the things that I want you to understand is if the people that they were going to attack knew that they were coming, they would take old pottery and just throw it out in the fields because whoever's coming has to walk through that, okay? Remember, we're talking years ago. They didn't have tanks, okay? They didn't have armored vehicles. They didn't have tires. They went there on foot. So if you were barefooted and all this broken pottery, remember, there wasn't quite so much glass back then, but all this broken pottery, and pottery will cut you, all right? It's difficult to walk in that kind of a situation, let alone to be prepared for a battle, all right? So they would wear sandals. Now, they were a heavier sandal than a normal walking sandal, and they literally laced up the leg to protect the lower leg. And as they did these things, it was a preparedness to be ready, because they would be able to step on those rocks, step on those pebbles, be on that unlevel ground, and still have sure-footedness. We need to understand, God wants us to be prepared for what is going to come into our path, whatever it may be. Remember, the evil one is going to throw all kinds of things at you to stop you and to swart you from coming unto him, from coming unto the Lord. Please understand, that's what I'm talking about. He's going to do everything he can to slow you down and stop you. And if your feet hurt, how many of you have ever walked in bad shoes and you got blisters? Okay? If that's your case, you're not going to go far, right? Because if your feet hurt, you're not going anywhere too quick. We need to be ready. We need to have that preparedness to be able to go further, to go faster, to go longer, and to go over rough ground, because it's going to be rough. How many of you, when you became a Christian, everything became peaches and cream and rosy and you know, nobody? That's the truth of it. God says, I will be with you. Amen? He says, I will be with you. He doesn't say he's going to take it all away, does he? He says, I will be with you. So we can get through by his strength, by his power, by putting on the preparedness of the gospel of peace. Well, the NIV also uses the word readiness. And I want us to think about that, because preparedness and readiness, are they necessarily the same thing? You can be prepared for something, but are you ready? I can be prepared But that doesn't mean that I'm ready for it to happen. Okay? I can have all the equipment, but that doesn't mean now's the time to throw it down, right? I need to be ready. What does readiness mean? Well, let's look at the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. We're in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. Chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 15, and then we're going to go to another verse, and then we're going to converse about these things. 1 Peter 3 and 15 says this, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Amen? Now turn to 2 Titus. 2. Oh, come on. Man, I'm jumping right over Titus, poor guy. There we go. It's just Titus, not Titus 2. I'm sorry. Titus, we are in, is it 2 and 4? No. I put down the wrong verse there. Let me see if it's here. Oh, yeah. Turn to 2 Timothy. Wow. Poor pastor. He's just out of sorts today. 2 Timothy. It's like, I know it's 2. It's Timothy, not Titus. 4 and 2. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Sorry, Pete. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." You and I need to be ready. We need to be prepared, okay? Again, the preparedness. We need to put on the gospel of peace. And we need to be ready. In other words, encouraged. We have to have been taught and are ready to take this word, what we know. And I've told you all, and I'll tell you again, you do not need to worry about what to say. Simply speak, and the Holy Spirit will speak through you, all right? Yield yourself to Him, and He will give you the words that you need to say at the appropriate time. But another thing I need you to understand, too, what is the greatest word that God will ever have you speak to others? It's very simple. It's called your testimony. Your testimony. Do you have to memorize this whole book? You know, do you have to memorize this thing from beginning to end in order to be out there and to be ready? No. Simply share what God has done in your life, what He has brought to you. Share it with others. Show them through how you live your life, how God has delivered you from the things of your past. I mean, for those of you who are out there who know my background and have similar backgrounds, man, I could talk for days, weeks, months. It's taken me 57 years to get here. How can I recount 57 years in 5 minutes? I want you to think about that, because when we are ready to share who we are, how many of you have already lived part of your life? Come on, that's every person, all right? You know what you've been through. You're ready to share it. Share it. Share it. And the thing of it is, you know it so well, nobody can take it from you. It's your story. It's His story. You bring that word. What the apostle here is doing, what Paul is doing in telling us to be prepared is simply telling us in a different fashion what Jesus has already told us. Look in the book of Matthew, 20th chapter. The book of Matthew, the 20th chapter. Matthew 28. Verses 18 through 20. We all know these, right? We know this. This is some of the most popular scripture in all of Christendom. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We are told to go. Jesus tells us to go. We are told by the apostle that we need to be ready to go. That is the preparedness of the gospel. We need to put on what we know and be ready to walk on that ground that is unstable. How many of us know unstable people? I are one, right? Every time I look in the mirror, I see an unstable person. I'm not joking, because there is a war that is going on within me, a war of good and a war of evil. And I have seen the victory in Jesus Christ. And I claim the victory for myself in Jesus Christ every day. The battle has to start at home. Because when you understand that, now you're prepared, now you're ready to take that battle out into the field and actually talk to others. There's nothing worse than a self-righteous Christian. Have any of you ever met one of them? Whoop. I can remember at one point in my walk where I was one of them. I got myself saved, and I was wonderful, and I literally was telling God who could be saved and who couldn't be saved. And I know a lot of Christians that have said to me, "Oh, that God can never save that person." Oh, may I see your hands? I'm not God, neither are you. I have no idea who can be saved, but I know this. I'm to be ready in season and out of season to preach the Word of God. I need to be prepared. And what does it mean to preach the Word of God? To tell your story. To tell your story. That's it. Share it with everybody that's out there. For you folks who are out there on the internet, yeah, you're away from us, but you have a story too. Don't be afraid to share it. God wants to use you. He wants to use your words. I'm telling all of you that. Your life lived openly before others is your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. When you go at it barefooted, you are literally keeping the gospel of Christ out of the picture. We have to put those sandals on. We need to be prepared and ready to share. And I'll tell you right now, when I'm out there working my garden, what for shoes do I have on? The heaviest stupid boots I can put on, because I'm going to be out there walking in mud and stones and churning this stuff up. I don't go out there in my bare feet, okay? I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to go prepared, ready to go, ready to dig in. Because where does growth happen, people? In the dirt. Doesn't happen on those wonderful, beautiful vistas and plateaus. They're places to visit. Did you ever notice nobody lives there? Where do we all live? In the valleys. Have you ever looked at Lebanon? Okay, we're here in Lebanon. There's a south mountain and a north mountain. Okay, you look at the mountains. Yeah, there's homes in the woods, but you don't see many of them, do you? Where do you see all the houses? In the valley. Because that's where we live. We live in the valleys. And we need to be ready to go from those heights of God into the valleys and get busy. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready to share the Word of God with everyone who will listen. We also need to understand that it's just not the readiness and the preparedness, but it's the gospel of what? Peace. What does that mean, the gospel of peace? Because that's the message that we need to take. That's the message that we need to take. Remember, God is hostile against those who are outside of Christ, but in Christ, God has something else. What does he have? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. From the fifth chapter, the book of Romans, the first verse, the word of the Lord coming to us through the apostle by the power of the Holy Spirit says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we come through Christ, when we understand that he paid a price that we could not pay, when he took upon himself our death, all of a sudden we are no longer at war with God. We are not strangers to God. We come into a love relationship where we have peace with him, where our sins cannot be counted against us any longer. And he accepts us as we are to get us to where we need to be. How many of you, when you first came to Christ, have never made a move since that day? I hate to say this, but there should be a few hands in the air. Now, I'm looking at my elder because I know it's not him, but I know I'm safe if I look at him because he's my elder and he understands that, right? Because if I look at anybody else, they're going to say, he's talking about me. What's he mean by that? The truth of the matter is, so many of us come to Christ and then we figure, all right, I'm in. And we plant ourselves. We cannot stay there. We have got to move forward to where God wants us to be. And some of that is going to be hard road. That's why you need to have your feet prepared. Because it's not only for the battle, but it's for your own walk. To get you to where you need to go, God has to prepare your heart for that walk. Because you're the first thing that has to change. God wants to have peace with us, that we can walk with him, that we can see what he sees. How many of you would like to know that chair in the middle of the room when you're out there at night without the lights on? How many of you would like to know it's there before your toe does? Do you see how easy this stuff is to put together? God wants us to understand. He rearranges the furniture when we're walking in the dark. That's the peace of God, all right? God literally moves things out of our way. He doesn't take them out of our way. He'll move them. He'll move them. And he moves us. He guides us and gets us to walk around them, okay? Until finally there's no obstruction whatsoever. That's having peace with God. How many of you would like to have God take away every obstacle in your life? Oh, man, I would. Yeah, both hands in the air on that one. Amen. But guess what? God's not going to do that because he wants us to submit to him. Does that make sense? He wants us to submit to him, which means sometimes we have to be the one to rearrange the furniture. We have to be the ones to move things out. Because he wants us committed to him. That gospel of peace works both ways. That we have peace with God. That we are able to commune with him. Him with us. Him to work in our lives and to help us and strengthen us. But at the same time, it means that we need to move some things in our life. Remember, God's not the one who has to change. All right? How many of us tell God what we want? Hey, come on. We do it. How many of you have ever prayed, God, here I am, what do you want? And just sat there for an hour waiting. Because I'll tell you right now, if you start praying like that, oh, look out. Because when he realizes you really mean it, he's going to start moving some furniture in your life. He is going to start showing you the pictures of who you are and who he wants you to be and the goodness that can come. But we have to be at that place. And I'll tell you what, you know, we sang the song Scars. Oftentimes it's during those struggles that we dig in, don't we? We dig in and it's like, I am not gonna move. And all of a sudden, what does God do? He lets us sit there. He lets us in the pain and gently loves us until finally we do move. And then we get to look back and see that was all us. It wasn't him. We were the ones who were walking away from him. We were the ones who dug our heels in rather than saying, Lord, here I am. Because you see, the gospel of peace is also means we have to have peace with God. We have to be willing to submit to him. And as we do, the peace that surpasses all understanding will be ours for the asking. And we get to move in the righteousness of Christ into the glory of God. Another scripture I want you to look up. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. This is and it's funny because this is actually a benediction, okay? This is a benediction. But a benediction is a parting blessing, okay? And as we have understood that as Paul has given us 2 Thessalonians, as he has given us that instruction, and as we walk in that entire instruction of 2 Thessalonians, this is how it ends. Now, when? Now, having understood that that means since we now have read 2 Thessalonians and we are doing everything that it says, right? How many of you are doing everything 2 Thessalonians says? How many of you remember what 2 Thessalonians says? All right? But now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Let's get real. How many of you like to get real? Okay? Let's get real. How many of you like when your children tell you what they're doing? Yeah, no, buddy, you ain't got no children, all right? Just wait. Yeah, no, oh, yeah, you want it the other way around. I want to be the child telling. You ain't a child no more, buddy. You granulated. It's all sugar from here on out. Ah. How many of us like when bad things come our way? None of us do. But the awesome part is, in all those trials, in all those tribulations, we can have peace. We can know that there's someone there taking care of everything that comes before us. And that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Because no matter what comes our way, if we take it to him, his will be done. Amen? How many times do we pray that? Thy will be done, O Lord. What greater will is there than the will of God? You know, I'm going to say this. You know, Lynn's mom just passed. And one of the greatest aspects of her passing was the conversation I got to have with her in the hospital. To know that she is in the Lord. To know that I will see my mother-in-law again. And by the way, she was the best saleswoman ever. I met Miss Betty, and this is going out on the internet, dear. This is going out on the internet. I met Miss Betty, and Lynn's brother introduced me. Mom, this is Rich Dubs, one of the guys I work with. We're coming down. We're going to hunt on the farm today. Oh, she turns around, looks at me. She was washing dishes. Are you married? I said, no, ma'am. Do you got a girlfriend? No, ma'am. She says, well, I have a daughter I'd like to tell you about. That was 37 years ago this October. But I know, because I have the peace of God in my heart, that that woman is in heaven because of the conversation that I had with her, speaking that testimony of her life, of how she sold me her daughter. I said, Mom, do you know why I'm here? And she said, yes. Now, please remember, she could barely speak. So she said, yes. And then I shared with her the gospel of Jesus Christ out of the book of Romans. And Betty accepted the Lord. I told her, I said, you were the greatest saleswoman I've ever met. You sold me my wife the first 30 seconds I was in your house. And I didn't even meet her. I said, but Mom, I have somebody that I want to give you. And his name is Jesus Christ. And in her hospital bed, Betty Hengst grabbed my hand. It wasn't a pastor takes her hand. She grabbed my hand and held on. And we prayed. Well, I prayed. She couldn't speak. I prayed. And when I was done, she patted my hand, and I was the last person to actually have a conversation with Betty Hengst. Are you ready? Do you have your feet fitted with that readiness? The gospel of peace, when all the world is falling apart around you and you hurt, are you ready to share the love of God that others may know? No matter where you find yourself, because I'm going to tell you right now, when you're looking at your mother-in-law, and believe me, I loved her as my own mother, and you know this is the last conversation you're ever going to have on this side of eternity, are you ready to share what's really important, or are you going to be selfish and hold back and complain about life? Because I'll tell you right now, life's going to be with us until our last breath. But that person in front of you, you have no idea. And you really have no idea when your last breath is going to be. So we need to be ready to share that gospel of peace, that which we know. We have all eternity in Christ Jesus. Amen? And we've got to be able to bring that to a world. Look at our world. They are clamoring for anything that they can that makes them feel good for a moment. We know that we're going to be good for what? Eternity. We don't have anything to look forward to in this world. I'm going to guarantee you, yes, I'm going to look forward to my grandchild being born. I'm going to look forward to the years that I get to invest in that child. But that is nothing in the scope of eternity with God. That is but a drop in the bucket. And you and I need to remember that we have something beyond this world, but there are people that all they have is this world. And look at where they are, burning down people's homes, burning down businesses, beating up business owners. Why? Because I've got a bone to pick with everybody because I don't get everything I want and I have to work for it. Suck it up, cupcake. That's the way it works. God loathes a sluggard. We are put on this earth to work the garden. We were put on this earth to be the representatives of God in this world. God's not lazy. And neither are we. We have been meant to do the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to be about it. But we have to be prepared. We have to be ready. You and I have to understand that when we have peace in all circumstances, I'm telling you right now, and I've spoken to some of you folks who have found yourselves in some pretty hard situations, and all of a sudden there's just something inside of you that says it's going to be okay. I don't understand it, but it's going to be okay. That's the peace of God. And that's what we need to give to other people. They're out there, and believe me, we don't have to look far. How many of you know right now, when you go to work on Monday, there's a coworker there, and all they're gonna do is complain? From the moment I walk in until I leave, I'm gonna hear nothing but like an old diesel tractor running. What do we need to do for them? We need to show them the peace that we have with God. We need to share with them the love that we have with God. We need to share with them the truth of God. I think that's the last couple pieces of armor we just talked about. Wasn't there something like a breastplate, Ryan? Yeah, oh yeah, there it is. That's right. That's the heart, right? Protects the heart. Okay? If you've got it on your feet, now you can share it from your heart, because you know it's from your heart that you are saved, right? You know, because we walk with the truth and we bring the truth to people. We understand that each of these pieces gets us ready to go. And it's so amazing to me, because we have our feet fitted now. We have the truth around our waist. We have the breastplate on. Ryan, are we ready to go? Oh, nope. There's still more there. But so many of us want to jump out the gate. Don't jump out the gate. The Lord says, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. Don't go half-dressed, all right? We've got to put it all on. Next week, we're going to come back, and we're going to look at the helmet of salvation, because we have got to have our whole body secured in Christ before he then begins to give us weapons to actually deal with the things that are coming at us, all right? We have to make sure we are fully prepared in the body, that we are ready to go. And there's one more piece, and it's a very important piece, because without it, you take out the noggin, it's done, right? You know, I look at these guys riding motorcycles, and I think to myself, dude, the only thing you really need to protect is the pumpkin on the top. Okay, pop the pumpkin, done. The body will heal, pretty much. I've seen some pretty rough things. But bust this thing, ain't gonna happen. They ride without helmets. Scares me. Come back next week. We got a lot to talk about. But I want us to remember, are you ready to move on? Are you ready to take that next step? Are your feet fitted with the readiness, with the preparedness of the gospel of what? Peace. You know, it's not the gospel of war. Aren't we getting dressed to do battle? It's the gospel of peace. Because they want to do battle with us. What the armor is for us to protect ourselves from them and from ourselves, and bring the peace of God to them so that they don't need to war any longer. Are you ready today? I hate to tell you, no, you're not. We still have a bunch of pieces to go over. So come back next week, please. Let's talk about the helmet of salvation and understand that as we come under that, oh boy, there's a teaching there. Well, we'll wait. Pray with me this day. Father God, we thank you so much that you care for us so much, that you deliver your word to us. You give us the truth. And then, Lord God, you give us something even more. You give us your heart. You protect us with your heart, that we may live and breathe in your being. And then, oh Lord, you put the feet of peace upon us, that we are ready to walk out into a world that would harm us, that would tear us apart. But Lord, there's more yet to come, so that we are fully ready and prepared to meet the day you give us more, because in you, it is the fullness of yourself that matters. So, Lord, prepare our hearts. Prepare our hearts to receive your truth and to know you. Open our eyes to the gifts that we already have: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the gospel of peace. Lord, allow us to wrap them up in our lives, to wear them always, and to be as Christ unto this world. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.